Hope everyone's having a great Tuesday. Berkshire's Best Variety, Live 95.9. Mike Heck here in the middle of your afternoon radio program. And joining me on the line right now is a neuropsychologist. She wears a lot of hats. We just talked off air a little bit. Dr. Diane Roberts-Stoller, a.k.a. Dr. Diane. How are you today?
Hi, how are you?
I am fantastic. So obviously, we have a lot to talk about here with the new Will Smith movie coming out. But if we could just maybe get a little bit of background on who you are and your experience with the subject.
And I actually saw the movie the other night, so I did see it. So we'll talk very clearly about what I know about it. My background, I'm a neuropsychologist. I'm a board-certified health psychologist. I'm a board-certified sports psychologist. I also do performing arts.
Looking at your website, which is drdiane.com, right. It said that, and you actually said it off the air perfectly, I'm not going to steal the quote from you. It said that you actually suffered an aneurysm while driving your car back in 1990. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, what I had is that I had a cerebral bleed from a growth of capillaries that bled out while I was driving. So that is called an aneurysm, which is a form of a stroke, and is that I passed out while driving. I had a 60-mile-an-hour head-on auto accident. I lost the vision in my right eye. No, I didn't lose it. I had problems in my right eye. Jaw, 4 cervicals, those are your neck, 3 thoracic upper body part, lower part of your body is your lumbar area. I lost 3 injured, when I say lost, I injured all those areas and my knees. And I was told, I bit my tongue down the middle, and that was in 1990. And then 5 months later, I had brain surgery, and I had to have the area that was growing removed. So I have a hole in my brain. And in 1994, I was told by every doctor that I was seeing, both at Brigham Women's and up here, that I was permanently brain damaged. I would never walk, talk, or do anything ever again. And at the time of that accident, I had 3 offices, over 256 patients, and I had the first integrative team ever. I opened my practice in 79 and had the first integrative team where I had psychiatrists, neurologists, I had massage therapy, I had polarity, I had acupuncturists, I had psychiatric nurses, and this was in all 3 offices, and all that came to an end. However, that integrative team is what really saved my life, because I had already believed in integrative team and the kind of concept of integrative practice. And so my whole philosophy, which was then and it still is now, is based, which is on my website of drdiane.com, that's drdiane.com, is my 5-prong approach. I look at the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, the energy, and the psychological aspect. And so we went to work on me, and by 1997, I had written the first book on this subject called Coping with Mild Traumatic Brain Injury. And then in 2005, I got Lyme disease, which then affected my brain again. I got better from that using all the methods. And in the book, which provides help and hope. Every symptom of a brain injury, every single symptom that there is a conventional method, which means that, which you would go to your usual doctor, the prescriptions, conventional methods, PT, and it's covered by insurance. So that's my definition. And then complementary methods, alternative methods, and practical suggestions. And from that, I continued, and then in 2008, a snowplow took off the front of my car, and I had another concussion. And I took my book, held it up to my staff, and I did my Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I said, I'll be back. And I did. And in there, we'll be talking about neurofeedback, which is a very important. And you're out in the Pittsfield area. There is several people out in the Western Mass who do neurofeedback, and I will explain that in a little bit. So learning, changing my diet, and getting neurofeedback, water therapy through the Berdanka method. And so I did get back. And then in 2010, I was sitting in a zero gravity chair and was knocked unconscious. And so, and again, I had another concussion. And along the way, concurrently with all this, in 2008, they found I had a brain tumor. And so they've been watching that. It's benign. And that is part of, once you've had a brain injury, and if you've eaten soy or been on hormonal replacement, it can cause these non-cancerous tumors to grow in your brain that can cause seizures and headache and can cause certain motor problems, depending if it infiltrates the brain. So these are the things that people need to know, that what you eat affects your brain. We're going to be talking about that. And also, you know, the impacts and so of all, you know, what we're finding out more and more every day.
Dr. Diane is joining us here on Live 95.9. She's located out in Boxford, Massachusetts.
That's near Andover.
right in the Boston area where I grew up. So we talked about it a couple minutes ago. There's been a lot of hype for months, really, about this new movie, Concussion, that came out on Christmas starring Will Smith, especially with all the talk about head injury within the NFL. So it's very timely and topical right now. Some people are in agreement with the premise of the film. The NFL, as you would expect, is on the other side of the fence. Where do you stand, Dr. Diane, and why?
Well, one, I'm going to make a very clear distinction for your audience and for most people. And this is very important. And he actually, in the movie, he made this distinction, the doctor did. And that is the difference between, you can have a head injury without a brain injury. And you can have a brain injury without a head injury. And that is extremely important to understand. Okay? And so I will try to explain that. You have your hair and your scalp. And then you have your skull. And then around inside the skull, you have these membranes. And then in the membranes, you have fluid. And if you can think of having almost like a nylon stocking, and then inside of that is the actual brain, which is like soft custard. And in the brain, you have your vascular system, which is your veins and your arteries and capillaries. And then you have your electrical system. If you run as fast as you can against a door, you will get a bump on your head. You might even crack your skull, but you may not have a brain injury. You will have a head injury. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you're sitting in the car, and someone rear-ends you. They're going 40 miles an hour, and they rear-end you, and your head moves back and forth. You have not injured that skull. You have not injured your scalp. You have not injured anything on the outside, and yet you can have a brain injury. A matter of fact is that from the sound effects, you know, you've heard of the IEDs and the blast injuries of people in Iraq and the war injuries that the veterans are having. The fact is 20,000 people at the Marathon bombing have a brain injury. They have had a concussion that they do not know about, because it was sound waves that actually caused their brain to have a concussion. So it doesn't have to be an impact sport. You don't have to have an head injury. So this is very, very important, because what was being depicted in this movie is that the fact that when you're playing football is that you are moving, especially with the helmets they have of today, and then we'll get into the younger children because you asked me that off before, is that you have the child's brain and their neck, and then the helmets, and the difference between rugby and football. We're talking about NFL football, is that you are rushing, hitting someone greater than the impact. And that head, now you're having twisting and turning, because the head is turning. You're having whiplash movements. You're having rotation tears in the brain. And you're also having this multiple impacts, which are causing not head injuries, but brain injuries. Yes.
So let me ask you this, because you brought up a really interesting point when you said you can get a head injury, not a brain injury, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any signs about a brain injury that you necessarily should look for? If kind of an impactful hit or something like that in football, is there any kind of physical sign that, okay, that tells you that?
Okay, now I'm going to go with one more definition for everybody. There is three forms of brain, well, levels of traumatic and acquired, and we're going to just do this. I had, when it's from an inside force, it's acquired. That's the cerebral bleed or a clot. That causes a stroke. That's an acquired brain injury. The external, when it's from an external force that is traumatic, that is called the traumatic brain injury. Now, outside force, now we have a TBI, there's three levels. There's mild, moderate, and severe. And people used to, and that's why the term mild traumatic brain injury is now called concussion. It is synonymous, because people used to think mild meant not so bad. What it means is the duration of which you are not aware of the outside world, okay, and whether you remember what happened. So if you now have been knocked out, your kid is on the, we're not talking football again, I'm going to go back to just outside playing on the slide, and the kid comes over and has gone down the slide, hit his head, got dazed, and scraped his arm, and he goes running to his mom and shows him the scraped arm. The mother is not going to say, were you knocked out? They're just going to attend to that arm. You following me?
Right.
And so that kid, that dazed, it doesn't have to be unconscious. It can be from dazed, startled, you know, the stars, you know, they always see in the cartoons, the kid gets knocked over the head and you see the stars, the dazed. But if you said to the kid, what happened? Oh, I don't know. I think I was going down the slide. They don't remember. You following me?
Absolutely. I have an almost 3-year-old, so these are things that I'm trying to learn myself too, because he falls a lot.
So is that many times by the time that kid gets, now he's on his bike and he falls off, or the skateboards, or now the hoverboards, you're looking on the news, and you see all these people falling and hitting the back of their head. And they're getting, you know, dazed and confused. That is a mild traumatic brain injury. That is a concussion. So does that give you a very clear definition?
Yeah, absolutely. You made a really interesting point a little bit earlier about that, so now we get a little more background. We're being joined by Dr. Diane on Live 95.9. Now, obviously, you do a lot in your 5-prong approach. You would think that there are a lot of professional athletes that may come and visit you with all this that you have going on. Do you have any experience with NFL players and other professional athletes?
Absolutely. As a sports psychologist, I've been doing this now for 40 years, 36 years private practice. And I've had a wide variety, because sometimes people have come in for the brain fitness only to find out that they've had a concussion. And they were saying, well, you know, I'm fine. I just want to get a little smarter. I want to get up my game, because I do both brain rehab and brain fitness. And they'll come in for the brain fitness area and only to find out that they had had a concussion and they didn't know it. So you're absolutely right. I work with from Olympic athletes to pro to... high school, you know, amateur, all nationals, you know, the skaters. Yes, it's fun.
We talked off air about this as well and wanted to kind of ask you about this too. What is probably, not even talking about injury or anything, what is one of the main pieces of advice that you would give to an athlete right now that may be struggling with just simple things that they do on a daily basis?
Is one of the things is that I was talking about how the brain works, and this is where the neurofeedback and what and a whole other area that I do is training the frequencies. When you're doing a sport, you should not be thinking. It should be absolutely relaxed. Motor memory is that when you hit that ball, you should be one with the ball. Is that when you go to make that three-pointer, it's just a flow. You shouldn't be thinking, oh, I hold the ball here, I should move it up here, I should lift my arm. No. When you're the executive, you want to be thinking, okay, how am I planning, like the program manager, you know, you want to do step-by-step, more linear. It is absolutely fluid.
So it's kind of like being a shortstop and, you know, you take a million ground balls and then all of a sudden you make one error and then it's in your head and you're thinking about how I need to throw the ball. You don't want to do that.
Right. Absolutely. Yes, you do not want to think. Is you don't want Michael Jordan thinking, how is he going to throw that ball? And when that ball gets into your mitt, you do not want to think, oh, I should grab it and throw it and duh. That's why if you think, you know, before a game, I mean, they practice that routine. You see the Patriots playing there, and you see that play is being played and over again, because then when they execute it, that runner has done it at least 10, 15 times, and you know that. I mean, I'm talking to the choir over here.
Dr. Diane, we talked about this a couple of minutes ago, and I wanted to get your take on this. This is a very interesting topic that we've seen over the last couple of years. It's being reported that a lot of parents are pulling their kids out of Pop Warner and high school football due to head injuries, due to concussions, more than really any other reason. What advice would you give to parents at this point whose children want to play football?
Okay. I have 3 sons. And if I knew, and my older son right now still plays flag football. Rugby, absolutely. Flag football, fine. We're talking about the helmets, and this is what I keep on saying, is that in rugby, you would not go and hit someone intentionally on the head because it's going to hurt your head, right? So you're not going to go do a headbutt. Your tackling is different, everything else. The reason you don't, once you put that helmet on, your helmet doesn't get this, you don't think so, but you're actually getting an impact too. When you headbutt that other guy, you are still affecting your brain. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with, I call Pee Wee League, is that the kids do not have the neck strength. So you're talking about the whiplash, you're having the rotation, and they should not be in helmets. Absolutely. I mean, you're asking me? No. They can play flag. You know, kids used to play touch football and flag football. And I would really be hesitant to, the equipment has allowed the kids not to be aware of how much their brain is being affected.
So when do you think kids should start playing if they're going to choose to play?
I would say the guy who's got, bear with me, the neck, like my thigh, in high school. I would do high school and college. And I came from the Midwest where I went to Ohio State. I mean, Ohio, you eat, sleep, football. And is that it's not it's quite the same out here in New England. And that's what I grew up with. But the fact is that the equipment allows you, and I keep on saying, to do more forceful hits than you are aware that you're doing to someone else's brain.
So you and I are going to be kind of rivals going into 2015, since you're an Ohio State fan and I'm a Notre Dame fan. So
which fan?
Notre Dame.
Yeah.
We got a little bowl game going on. We're going to be taking on each other in a pretty big bowl game coming up in January.
That's right.
Dr. Diane is joining us here on Live 95.9. So we talked about the movie Concussion for a second. And, of course, we have to have you put on your Roger Ebert hat for a second, because a lot of our listeners want to know, how is the movie? How would you rate the film and why?
Okay, I rate the movie 5-star. I think what this doctor did was to bring out something we absolutely need to see, is repetitive hits, whether, and even going back to boxing, I'm going to go back quickly, is still, it's the force of that arm with that head that's there. The force, if you watch this weekend, the force of someone running down a field at full force, hitting someone else in the head, is much different. And that's repetitive, and I have seen the slides. I went to BU. I've worked with the doctors, not personally. I haven't been on the research. I want to be very clear about that. But I studied with some of the doctors at BU and know them, who are working on CTE, and is that what this man did was to be revolutionized, to say, this is, you back then, and even in 2000 when he was still covering this, I know for myself, my brain injury was in 1990. In 1989, I went and there was no such thing as an MRI. And that in 1990, there was an MRI, but not the kind that it is today. People need to go on and look. It's in my book, Coping with Concussion, a Mild Traumatic Brain Injury. In my book, and you can also see it Googling this, DTIs, that's a diffuse tensor imagery. You can see the connective white, and that is the area that gets ripped and torn. Most people with a concussion, you do not have structural damage. You do not see a bleed or a hole or shrinkage. What you're seeing is this tearing internally. And what happens then, which he depicts beautifully, because he said, here's a guy whose brain was normal. He said, but why was he acting this way? And he did the slices of the brain. And what happens when there's this tearing of the white matter and the basic cells, the protein, the tau protein, oozes out and literally eats away the brain like acid on the brain, and it causes deform. And in my book, I showed an actual picture of what that looks like. And you can go on Google and see that too. A normal brain versus what a brain looks like with CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Yes.
Wow.
So this is the thing. It's so subtle, you would not see it. And so they could go. And back then, the T3, and I tried it in my book, and I'm going to do it now. The CAT scan is like taking it, showing the structure of the house. It does not show how the brain is functioning. A neuropsych testing shows how the brain is functioning. An fMRI shows how the brain is functioning. And a quantitative EEG will show how the brain is functioning. All three hold up in a court of law as you know, standardized testing and methods of how the brain is functioning. The CT scan just shows you if the house is there, this is the structure, if there's a door in it. The traditional MRI, T3, T4, shows if there is a horse or an elephant in the house. But when you're talking about the kind of subtle injuries, we're talking tears, rips, we're now you're looking at the SWI, a single-weighted imagery, and then the DTI, which I mentioned. And I would recommend to anybody, if they've had a concussion, they have ongoing symptoms, that they insist they have an SWI or a DTI to show them where their injury is. And then, again, all these symptoms from the concussion is the act. The concussion is the injury. What most people are suffering from, and all your listeners, are a whole list. I have it on my website of all the different. There's the cognitive symptoms. There's the behavioral. There's the emotional. There's the labileness, the depression, the irritability. The labileness, you start screaming for no reason at all. Is that lights start to bother you, sounds start to bother you, you feel confused, you feel disoriented. All these symptoms are in my book, in Coping with Coping with Concussion and Mild Traumatic Brain Injury, and it's on the website at drdiane.com, is that for every single symptom, there are methods, and that's what people don't know. There is help and hope for every single symptom, so that they can regain their life again. And if some of these symptoms that they had, and this is what this doctor showed, that when these guys had these symptoms, they were totally ignored, and there was no real medical device, because I wanted you to know, this is going to shock you, in 1990, when I had my mild traumatic brain injury, Beth Israel Hospital said that there was no such thing as mild traumatic brain injury. It was all psychological.
No kidding.
Yes, because there was no evidence. I mean, a CAT scan doesn't show it. I just told you that.
Right.
A traditional T3, T4 MR doesn't show anything. So many people are going in after an auto accident, after a football accident, they go in and there's no structural damage that they're seeing. But what I'm telling you, until you get to the SWI or the DTI or getting a neuropsych testing or getting a quantitative EEG, will you see that there's been a disruption in the white matter, and that's what you can see on the and the firing of the brain. Yes.
Dr. Diane, now, obviously football's been around for a long time. We talked about boxing a little bit throughout this conversation. That has been around for a long time. Now, a sport that is really increasing in popularity, you know, amongst viewers and of athletes itself is mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
We get a lot of people trying to get into fighting. They love the UFC and all of that that goes into competition inside a cage. It's you against another person. What kind of things are you seeing within the world of mixed martial arts? Are you seeing a lot more than you've seen before?
Yes. But I'm going to answer going back to what I went back to the beginning, is that when you go to kick, okay, you know, when you take your fist, because I'm into the martial arts. I told you that before. Mm-hmm. If I took my fist and with all my strength and I'm punching you, okay, that is not as hard as if I take my leg and punched you in the head. As a matter of fact, because of my stroke, I had to learn not to punch with my hand because I actually learned how to punch with my elbow, which it has more force than my hand does, okay?
Yep.
And so when you are taking your knee or you're taking your foot and you do that roundhouse kick and knock someone out, you are causing a concussion, no question. And you think about it. We pay money to watch someone to be knocked unconscious.
It's true. I'm going in Boston in January.
But it's still, I mean, and the end result is you see Muhammad Ali. He has Parkinson's disease. And when people think of Parkinson's, they forget that, remember I told you, that's under brain injury. There's acquired, remember?
Yeah.
And traumatic. And Parkinson's is under, is a brain injury. So is MS. And people don't realize all these things. It's an injury to the brain. Yes.
This is very, very interesting, and I feel like there may be more and more mixed martial artists coming to see you in the next few years as the sport continues to grow in popularity, no doubt about that.
The one I use is a form called Kyushu. You just hit three acupuncture points, and I can knock someone out cold without having, and it still causes the brain to go unconscious.
Wow.
Because what you're doing is short-circuiting the electrical system. So when I'm letting you know whether it's vascular, you're stopping the vascular system, you're not getting oxygen, okay, which is a whole other area when people are partying and taking drugs and they're putting bags over their head, and is when you deprive of oxygen or you short-circuit the electrical system, whether it's by the acupuncture point or with a direct hit with a fist or knee, it's still that person's hand. This is going back to the football. That person's hand hurts. I mean, you're wearing gloves, okay? But you're still having some impact in your body. That when you're playing football and you hit that other person, you're still having some impact on your own body, but it is, you're not aware of the extent of that impact you've just done.
Makes a lot of sense, no doubt about that. Dr. Diane is here on Live 95.9. I could talk to you for another 2 hours because I cannot believe how quickly this all went by. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can we once again find you for more information on this subject or about your practice in general?
My website is www.drdiane.com. That's drdiane.com. My phone number on the website is 1-800-500-9971. And my book is Coping with Concussion and Mild Traumatic Brain Injury. It is on my website, on Amazon. It's in Kindle. It's on every ebook. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's everywhere out there.
All right, Dr. Diane, thank you so much for taking the time today.
My pleasure.